Obama was pimping kids very clearly. But Pedo Joe, as I call him, and Joe's pedos are 1,000 times worse, because now they're putting these kids into hotels from San Diego to New York. And there's one thing to be in a fenced-in open enclosure where you can see what's going on. There's another thing to put children into hotel rooms, and that's really just child brothels coming home to the United States.
Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. I've got an absolute treat for you, a very special guest, Major Jeffrey Prather, retired special ops intelligence officer. And let me tell you, we talk about the treason at the very top. We talk about child sex trafficking, Pizzagate, Pedigate, and I even ask Jeffrey Prather if he believes the Frazzle Drip video exists. Wait until you hear his answer. Hey friends, welcome back. Thank you so very, very much for tuning in. It's Sean from SGT Report. Guys, buckle up. I have a great broadcast here for you today. Let me just quote my guest. The deep state dark economy is completely based on three things: weapons, drugs, and human trafficking. And it must be stopped. I'm delighted to welcome to the show retired Major General Jeffrey Prather. He's a retired Special Ops Intelligence Officer who performed USA-Mexico child rescues, and he's got a bunch to say on the topic of Pedogate and Pizzagate, of course. Jeffrey Prather, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
Thanks for having me, Sean, but it's not Major General, it's just Major. And usually it was Major pain in the butt.
Major Jeffrey Prather. All right, I stand corrected. AmpNews.us, that's the website though, correct?
That is America's intelligence officer and American Media Periscope's intelligence officer.
All right. Well, at least I got that right. Hey, so let's start with this idea that the deep state dark economy is completely based on three things. My audience couldn't agree more: weapons, drug running, and child sex trafficking, human trafficking, and it must be stopped. I was listening to your interview with Jay Slay, and you coined the term, and I think it's spot on, the Clinton cartel of death. Maybe to set the stage here, and we can start wherever you want, but I just want to remind my audience that after that earthquake in Haiti, Laura Silsby got stopped at the border of Haiti trying to traffic out 33 children, and who came to her aid? None other than the Clintons. So I think your term there, the Clinton cartel of death, is spot on.
Oh, well, thanks. Well, I kind of stumbled on that when I went active duty as a young military intelligence second lieutenant who was assigned to psychological operations, 4th PSYOP group. And that caused me to deploy with the Rangers and Special Forces and deploying with the 7th Special Forces group to Central America. And eventually I went over to 7th group. I ran across the Contras, the CIA. And at one point, I got called into SOC South headquarters in Panama to be asked if we were going to end up before Congress like Ollie North had with an illegal covert operation. And the answer was we wasn't. But I saw all this develop, and I saw that the CIA, and that's the front, along with the FBI, of the intelligence community, found this fountain of black money, of dark money, off the books money, by running cocaine via the Contras into Mena, Arkansas. And now they've just never stopped doing it. And that really, out of Arkansas, really built the Clinton cartel of death. And now they're doing it with the genetic bioweapons, which used to be called jabs, and before that were called vaccines. The other part of that was when I was a DEA agent, I was extraditing the first Sinaloa cartel leader, and eventually, initially inadvertently, but eventually I uncovered the fact that the DEA was running drugs north via the Sinaloa cartel for the fast and furious guns going south. And so it's not much of a stretch then to see the third leg of that cartel is people. And then now at this level, it's children.
Yeah, I want to talk about the significance of the film, The Sound of Freedom, too, with Jim Caviezel here in a minute. But you mentioned Mena, Arkansas drug running. You know, that is one of the things. The work of Gary Webb woke me up to this deep state idea that, okay, we had a president. His name was George Bush Sr., George H.W. Bush, and he used to be the head of the CIA. Then he became president. And then later, Bill Clinton becomes president. And I like to say that the Bushes built the Clintons through that Mena, Arkansas CIA drug running. Do you think I have that right? Because they're just two heads of the same snake in my view. We got the Bushes and the Clintons, and they kind of work together in this false right-left paradigm.
I'd agree with that, except that I think it's the puppet masters behind the scene, really the intelligence community now, unfortunately, and I was part of it for a long time. I was Defense Intelligence Agency, just like Tim Ballard was CIA, I was DIA. And I was DEA at the same time, but really these are puppets that the intelligence community brings up because really the deep state of the double government are the intelligence agencies and the global cabal beyond the Pilgrim Society and the World Economic Forum are the Five Eyes and the international intelligence community to the lines with each other to survive and perpetuate itself. Not to serve their country. I like to say the intelligence, the CIA doesn't collect intelligence, it collects people. The FBI doesn't solve crimes, it manages crime.
It doesn't solve crime, it manages crime. The same seems to be true with the FBI. And I have to give credit to Jay Slay, because this is something that came up in your interview with him. You made a close comparison between Ray Epps and Ali North, which I thought was fascinating. And you said, and I quote, "I think both were approached to run special operations." Guys, as you'll remember, Ray Epps, I think to this point, remains unindicted. Perhaps now finally the system has caved in around him and they say they're going to indict him. But he was the one directing traffic on the ground on January 6th and the day prior, essentially saying to people, "We need to breach the Capitol." You guys all know this story. Ray Epps, the unindicted co-conspirator of January 6th. Well, grandmas, little old grandmas were persecuted and prosecuted and had to go to prison. So very interesting comparison, Ray Epps and Ali North.
Yeah, I think it's very valid. Aladdin, my friend, who is also former Special Forces, Jeremy Brown, is locked up for 7 years because he outed that the FBI came to his house ahead of January 6th to get him to lead a movement. But he was too sharp because in Special Forces, they also run confidential human sources, or in my day, they were called CIs, confidential informants. So he recognized what they were trying to do and he outed it and he recorded it. And now he's in jail for it, where Epps didn't either recognize it or went along with it, very much like Ali North did as well. The Marines are not normally that sophisticated. I've worked with a lot of great Marines. MARSOC now exists. But out of the Office of Strategic Services came two things. The CIA, which has always been corrupt, and Army Special Forces, Green Berets, which have always been fabulous. But I think that they find these patriotic military folks, in particular the Marines, and say, "Hey, we want you to lead this op. We can't tell you really what it's about, but you'll be doing a great secret service for your country." And they are lured in because they just aren't that aware of human or human intelligence or human operations like that.
Does it fascinate you, or does it just piss you off like it does I, that the demon rats, the people on the other side of the aisle, seem really willing to protect Ray Epps? In fact, some of these guys have said, "Hey, just lay off the guy. You're ruining his life. He did nothing wrong." Don't you find that fascinating when all signs point to him being an intelligence asset? But I mean, it shouldn't surprise us in upside down world that the Democrats would want to protect Ray Epps.
Oh, well, certainly it's obvious. And I've had my Team America elements go out by his place. It's now sold, but he had a big fancy ranch with security. And, you know, retired Marine doesn't have that kind of assets. So he's obviously been paid off. And the Democrats and most of the RINOs, Republicans in name only, have sold out to the fourth branch of government, which is really the intelligence community. And that really centers around the Congressional Intelligence Committee as well. If you're on that, you're on the inside and you're running it. But they always extort everyone. And that's what you see with Hunter, so that they can control them. There's very few that are not controlled and run by this fourth branch of government, this intelligence community that's out of control.
Well, let's turn our attention to the open borders, drug running, and child sex trafficking, human trafficking at the border. So you pointed out that the DEA had a deal with the Sinaloa cartel to run drugs north in exchange for gun running south under Fast and Furious. Things are only worse now. That, of course, was under Obama. Now under sleepy, creepy, I call him Banana Joe, we got a far worse problem, an entirely open border with some 80,000 minors missing. And I think the number is far higher. How dire is this situation, in your view, with this open border? I mean, I think it's an absolute act of treason. Do you think I have that right?
Oh, I totally do. And I worked the Nogales, Arizona, Nogales, Sonora border as a DEA special agent for 10 years. And I did cross-border operations, over border, under border tunnels, all of those kinds of operations, and intimately familiar with them. And so for me, there's nothing new saying that the cartel controls the border. The cartel has controlled the border for a long time. And the every plaza or corridor is controlled by a cartel and run by a federale comandante. And in my day, he used to pay $1 million to get that corridor. And then he would take a mordida, which is a little bite of everyone coming across. Nowadays, everybody that comes across is in thrall to the cartel. And that includes all the little children. Under the Obama administration, I was saying Obama was pimping kids very clearly. But Pedo Joe, as I call him, and Joe's pedos, are 1,000 times worse, because now they're putting these kids into hotels from San Diego to New York. And there's one thing to be in a fenced in open enclosure where you can see what's going on. There's another thing to put children into hotel rooms. And that's really just child brothels coming home to the United States.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and ask you a bizarre question, but I know you'll track with it. You'll understand where I'm coming from. When we think about the crimes of the Biden family, Hunter's laptop from hell, Joe Biden, who really seems to love sniffing and touching inappropriately little girls, what are your thoughts on the WikiLeaks emails that I believe were released by Seth Rich, and he paid a heavy price for it? They murdered him for it. The WikiLeaks emails, the DNC emails, which indicate that Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton used FBI well-known terms, pedophilic terms, in their emails, terms that were completely out of context within the context of the emails. So investigators have been led to believe that those were emails about pedophilia. So that's question number one, and then I'll ask a follow-up question. But what'd you make of those emails and that pedophilic language?
Well, again, I think it is. So the FBI is not a law enforcement organization. It's an intelligence organization with law enforcement capabilities. And the recent FBI whistleblower, Garrett O'Boyle, Army veteran, said so as much. And I spent a lot of time working with the FBI. I graduated from the FBI Academy in 1990 because the DEA was always aligned and was always going to be rolled into the FBI while everybody else went to FLETC, the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center in Glencoe, Georgia. But the FBI and the CIA and the rest of the executive branch are the Praetorian Guard of the American Empire. And the Praetorian Guard established who would be the emperor in the fallen Republic of Rome. And at one point, they even auctioned off the emperorship, but they controlled all of that. And that's very similarly to what's happening now via the FBI. The FBI has been interfering in elections now for a long time, and they are managing that and controlling that, and they're placing who they want. And this is why you see all these fake charges against Trump about national security and national security information. And they're controlling what that is. There's three classifications. And I held top secret with the DOJ, and I held top secret with the DOD simultaneously with the SCI, Special Department of Information Access. Spent a lot of my career in SCIFs, Special Compartment Information Facilities. And there's a caveat that's called ORCON, which means originator controlled. The CIA likes to use it a lot. And what it means is, hey, this is our originating intelligence and we're going to control it. And so they make it up to be whatever they want it to be. And so they are shaping the battlefield or shaping reality to their courses of action as they want. And that has been turned around. It began, I think, you could say under the Bushes. I think it also began and was followed up under Reagan with Ali North. But after 9/11, which we now know, CIA and Mossad both had operations ongoing in, then the intelligence apparatus was turned around on the American people, all eyes in as opposed to all eyes out. And now it's quite obvious and quite overt.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's waking people up in droves. The question is, can we save the Republic before the cultural Marxist revolution is complete? And I think we can. So maybe in this conversation, we'll talk about this idea of devolution. I know you have much to say about it, but here's the out on the limb part. So we mentioned Hunter's laptop from hell. Well, remember that little thing called the Anthony Weiner laptop? I wonder if you have any information about this, because at this point, it seems like urban legend, right? That there is a video called Frazzle Drip, that is the moniker for this thing, that was found on Anthony Weiner's laptop, allegedly, which shows, by the way, Uma Abedin was married, guys, to Anthony Weiner, Weiner's laptop. Uma Abedin was essentially Hillary Clinton's sidekick, her number one attaché. And evidently, there's a video that appeared on that laptop that made grizzled vets of the New York Police Department sick to their stomach. They had to get therapy. And now a bunch of those men are dead. And it was a video called Frazzle Drip, which purportedly shows the murder of a small child at the hands of these two women. Do you know anything about that? Or is that just urban legend at this point, do you think?
No, I think it is true. I have seen bits and pieces of that. And I worked in the Manhattan office of the DEA and therefore closely with the New York PD. And after 9/11, they would establish their own task force headquarters, because they didn't want anything to do with the FBI, because the FBI just manages all of this. But no, I think that is true. You can still hear recordings of Podesta with a child screaming. You can still look at Will Ferrell with the clowns, the kids in cages, and the obscene and abominable Saturday Night Live. And they really like to just rub this in our faces publicly. And Obama did the same thing because it's an adrenaline rush for them. But it's also a way to extort them. But at the source level, as a Christian chaplain, it is really a worship of evil. And that really goes to Baal, the god of greed, the demigod of greed, the fallen Nephilim gods of greed. Then Molech, the god of child sacrifice. Satanic Church says, yep, abortion, the murder of the unborn, is a religious sacrifice for them. And then Ishtar, the god of transgenderism. Those are really the source aspects of that. And we've heard people saying that on various shows they'd be shouting Hail Satan and everything. But no, I think all of that is true and more. It's difficult to find a lot of those clips. I've seen clips of two pairs of little girls inside Epstein's now defunct temple as well, where there were no doors and there was a center altar. But no, I think that stuff is for real. Also, Ted Gunderson, the senior special agent, the fifth highest guy in the FBI back in the day who investigated the McMartin cases, said, yeah, he was also looking at this through the McMartin school tunnels and satanic objects. And an archaeologist verified that those tunnels had existed as well. So I think there's plenty of whistleblowers coming out. The difference now is that social media, like tracers and like islands in the Pacific, can work both ways. And that's the big difference now.
Okay. Well, we know there's tunnels under Washington, D.C., too. And then there's that whole Comet ping pong area of town where there were some very suspect businesses. And of course, James Alefantis had once been named the 49th most powerful man in Washington, D.C., despite only being a pizza shop owner. So that left some question marks for people. But let me ask you about The Sound of Freedom. What do you think the significance is of the film? I've seen it, and I saw it 3-4 years ago at a special premiere, a special sneak peek in Las Vegas, because they were still trying to find a distributor. Disney got the rights and maintained the rights for some 3-4 years, refused to release the movie. Finally, Angel Studios acquired the rights, released the movie, and it's done north of $150 million in domestic box office. It's a sensation, but it's just a small microcosm of what we're talking about here, because Frazzle Drip, sacrificing children to Satan, sacrificing children to Moloch, which we know does go on, Jeffrey. None of that appears in this movie. It's just a wake-up call, I think, for the sheeple. And still Disney wanted to bury it. What is the significance of The Sound of Freedom, the film, in your view?
Well, I think it's highly significant, and I'm kind of jealous because I got a sneak preview because I spoke before Jim Caviezel at the Freedom and Health that Clay Clark put on. And I said, well, to Clay, I got to follow Jesus, but I'll do my best. but you saw it way before then. But it is an opening breach of the deep state's dark economy defenses. And I work in competitive intelligence. And one of the techniques for sabotage is simply to buy something up. You'll see this all the time with big pharma, with real biotech companies. They'll just buy it up and then they will bury it. And so I think it is divine providence that Angel Studios, of course, doing Chosen and all that other good stuff, finally got it out there. And yeah, they didn't really talk about that. That is just the opening. But clearly the island scene related very well to the Epstein island. And Paul Hutchinson has expanded upon that role as well. And so this is just the beginning. We really need to continue to out this. Because unless you're Hunter or Hillary, it's still not acceptable morally. There is still enough of a moral fiber in America that child abuse and child rape and child murder is not acceptable. But people got to get their heads and wrap around it, that these people are evil. This isn't crazy. And this isn't conspiracy theory. This is manufactured malice. This is engineered evil. And that's how these people really are.
It's hard to process. You know, I started going down the rabbit hole after 9/11, and it's a difficult awakening. And that's why I think most people still don't want to wake up. You have to do the research your own. You have to want to wake up, and then you have to go down the rabbit hole. It's the only way to wake people up. We can try to coax them to wake up with, you know, information like this. But generally, we're just preaching to the choir here. And before I ask you about devolution and the idea that perhaps Biden at this point is only president of the bankrupt U.S. corporation, I did just want to make one more comment about Barack Obama. Do you remember the email that existed that was released by the WikiLeaks email released from Seth Rich, where he was trying to bring in $65,000 worth of hot dogs from Chicago to Washington, D.C.? It just seems like everywhere we turn, we get clues of how dark it is behind the scenes. But the average person just can't process it. They just can't believe that such evil exists, especially in our own country.
No, the hot dog and the pizza are, of course, code words for children. If you ever look at Sam Bankman-Fried's avatar on Twitter, and Twitter is not a social media company. Twitter is an intelligence storefront that does psychological operations and collects intelligence, mainly behavioral intelligence, signals intelligence. But if you ever look at Sam Bankman-Fried's avatar on Twitter, it's a heart within a heart, which is boy rapers, which they're now trying to say is minor attracted persons. But all of that connects into the dark economy. And the reason is because the engine of America has always been the small businessman, the entrepreneur, working hard, family business. But the deep state doesn't do any of that. The deep state consumes everything, produces nothing. And so all they can do is run children and guns and drugs. And that's exactly what we have devolved down into. That's why we've got that's why we're still giving money to Afghanistan. Why we've got troops over in Ukraine, and we do in Syria as well, because it's endless gray wars to support their corrupt economy.
If I could circle back to something you said earlier, you mentioned a secret society called the Pilgrims Society. You also mentioned the World Economic Forum. I might add to that the Committee of 300. Do you have any information? This is a total sidebar. I'm a silver and gold guy. Do you have any information at all about why silver is so damn important to these people that they need to manipulate it to keep it kneecapped in the 20s, decade after decade after decade? I mean, they're never going to let silver break out, because I used to do research on the Pilgrim Society. I had a guest on who was an expert on it, and he said they were obsessed with silver. Do you know anything about that at all? I'm sorry about the sidebar.
No, I would say they're obsessed with gold, but I think gold's very controlled at this point. But I really don't know why they would be so obsessed with silver, other than that they're controlling the economy. And silver is the most reflective, where gold is very conductive. Silver is very reflective. So that may go into directed energy weapons, which are, you know, clearly being used in Hawaii, I believe. and have been used in other places as well. But the whole thing with weapon systems today is people, they don't recognize the weapons that are being used again. The first rule of war is you got to know when you're in one. Then you got to understand what kind of war you're in. But no, I don't really have a good handle on why they're obsessed with silver.
Okay. Yeah. And I didn't expect you to at all. I don't have much of a handle on it either. I just bring it up because silver is still trading at less than half its 1980 all-time high. When inflation adjusted, that all-time high instead of 50 might be over 200. But, you know, they love to crush tangible assets because they love to keep us on their fiat bankster paper and ultimately a central bank digital currency. But since you mentioned directed energy weapons, I tend to agree with you. What happened in Hawaii, Maui specifically, is unprecedented, with the exception of some of those California fires we saw. They seem to be very similar. And what happened to Maui, by the way, you want to talk about rezoning oceanfront property for the rich people? Well, now they get their chance, don't they?
Well, they do. And Oprah's buying that up. And again, California to Hawaii, you know, if you study World War II, California and Hawaii obviously connect. You know, I used to fly out of Fort Bragg at Pope Air Force Base, adjoins Fort Bragg. And I just get on a hop at Pope, go over to Travis, from Travis, go to Hickam in Hawaii, from Hickam, go to Guam, from Guam to Kanino, Okinawa, to Kanino, Yokota, to go train with my Japanese martial arts master. So those islands, like tracers, work both ways, but also now social media works both ways. And that's the big difference now. And that's why, you know, your show is so important. My show, American Periscope's work is so important because we can turn this claymore around on them, and we are. This stuff was available before, but when there were just three stations, it was pretty easily controlled. Walter Cronkite was very easily controlled with the Tet Offensive, the Tonkin Gulf false flag to start the Vietnam War was very controlled. But now the resistance is able to build through all this alternative media. And they are losing control of that. The terrain is really human, and they are losing more and more terrain daily.
I love to hear you say that, and I tend to agree, because their new talking point is that they believe in free speech, just not free reach. We talk about that. Maybe that's why they let you speak your truth and me speak my truth, is because they've already kicked us off and curbed us and changed the algorithm, so our reach isn't what it could be. Did you happen to see Mika Brzezinski, the daughter of Zbigniew Brzezinski, on MSNBC, literally while trying to malign the Sound of Freedom, say that human trafficking does not exist? I should find that clip and play it for you.
No, I didn't see that. But, you know, I only look at mainstream media for intelligence and for a good laugh. You know, I haven't been on Fox or Laura Ingraham for a long time since I said things like Antifa.com still goes to WhiteHouse.gov, you know, and the FBI excluded the murder weapons in the Brian Terry murder trial from the trial because they were fast and furious guns. So it's very clear to me from my experience watching the Contra cocaine CIA cash covert operation, my experience as a whistleblower in Fast and Furious, and then listening to Tara Rodas, who I've had on my show, the HHS whistleblower, saying they're handing off kids to traffickers, they stop DNA tests. It's very clear that they are doing this. But they just aren't able to cover it up as they were. So I think they're making a push right now for control and to take over areas, again, California to Hawaii, to link those systems so they control that rat line across the oceans. There's some intelligence indicates they're putting in a submarine base there as well. And again, that's for the dark economy as well. But they seem to be making a much more overt push because I think they are reactive. I think they've lost a lot of initiative, and they're also trying to project the image of power through force, but force is not power.
Yeah, I agree. And it's really waking people up to this banana republic when all of these alphabet agencies have been weaponized against we the people. This may be a good bridge over to devolution. I'd like to keep talking about directed energy weapons, but maybe if you don't mind, let's talk about what the possibility is of saving our nation. And either I could give you the cliff notes of some of what Derek Johnson is saying here, or we could play 2 minutes of it and you could stop and start. We could talk about it as we go. But he's talking about Trump executive orders, 13848 about election interference, 13818 about human rights abuse and trafficking, and EO 13959 financing the People's Republic of China. All of these EOs signed by Trump remain effective today because Joe Biden can't do anything about them. Do you want me to play the clip and then let's talk about the possibility of devolution, or do you want to just comment on anything I just said?
No, sure. Go play the clip.
All righty. Let's do a screen share here. I'll enable sound. This is Derek Johnson. He's highly regarded in the truth space, at least with those who believe what he's saying. And I do believe him to be sincere. So the out on this is 2 minutes, 34 seconds. I don't know if you want to hear the full 2 minutes and 34 seconds, Jeffrey. Feel free to stop me anytime.
What's up, everybody? Derek Johnson here. Just going to show you another cool little scenario of what a special operation would look like. It's really cool. All right. So one, we're in a continuity government. All right, three branches of government are all under a continuity government. When that happens, that means the Constitution's been on pause, and the law of war manual steps up to the plate, which means a military occupancy by the military. All right, it was done this way on purpose for a reason. There's so much stuff that they're cleaning out, right? But let me show you a different kind of scenario. All right, so Joe Biden has extended 12 executive orders with national emergencies inside of those by Donald John Trump 2 years in a row. All right, three of those make absolutely no sense whatsoever. One's the election interference. Executive Order 13848. Then you have Executive Order 13818, the human rights abuse, which encompasses all kinds of trafficking and also whistleblowers. And then also the Executive Order 13959, which would be addressing the threats of people and companies and organizations, et cetera, financing the People's Republic of China. All right, those three especially make no sense whatsoever if you know anything about Joe Biden's past and history. So then on, obviously, July 13, 2023, which was an extension order because you cannot extend national emergencies and executive orders no more than two consecutive 12-month periods. July 13, 2023 was an extension order from the original order where President and Congress can declare war, which is a War Powers Resolution Act. So Joe Biden, quote unquote, July 13, 2023, said, I hereby delegate the authority to the Secretary of Defense and Homeland Security. Well, you got to go look in the original War Powers Resolution Act, where you actually declare the war if you were president. All right, so if Joe Biden was real and he's going to declare war, that's where you find it. But the last amended section of the War Powers Resolution Act is not Joe Biden. It's Donald John Trump, section 1550. And the executive documents below and the memo below, which specifically says, I hereby delegate the authority and functions vested in the president of section 1550 to the Secretary of Defense. All right, we scroll up to section 1550. It's dated December 20th, 2019, which is Donald John Trump.
All right. I think everybody gets the idea. Is this hopium? I mean, because I'm really looking for hope, because if they steal another election in 2024, Jeffrey, I think it's game over.
Well, so I am very hope-filled. I am very faith-filled. I believe we can win this, but I think we are in a fourth generation resistance movement that is legal, moral, and ethical and nonviolent against our own government in our own country. But resistant movements take decades and sometimes centuries. The early revolutionary Christian resistance movement against Rome, who they outloved, whom they could not outfought, took about 300 years. So, but to comment in detail about Derek, and I've seen some of his stuff before. I believe he's a young veteran. I think he is very intelligent. I think he's very well-meaning, but I think he is naive because he's trying to say that the government is following the law, and they are simply not following the Constitution at all in any regard. First of all, the president does not declare war. The Congress declares war. And we really haven't had a declared war in a long time. But regardless of that, none of these folks follow the Constitution anymore. Now, what's very interesting is the executive emergency declarations. Those are interesting that Trump put some of those in place. And I know a lot of people want to talk about Q and about the military's in charge. So let me say that I do believe there was or may still be a Q team. I outed Ezra Cohen Watnick as head of that Q team, and I only outed him because I had information that Barr was going to indict him. And I think that maybe because I put that out, it didn't happen. But if you go back and look at Watnick, he pops up in different places all of a sudden, DOJ and DOD at key times. President Trump, who I give a lot of credit to, and I think he's been more through more than I have, and I've been through a lot as a whistleblower, as has General Flynn and others, authorized the emergency authorization of Warp Speed, of the bioweapon, and still says the China virus. Now, there's a constellation, a staff constellation around big guys that control his information flow. I get that. What makes me unique is I do my own intelligence digging, and I am not afraid to look outside the box. But it looks like there are dueling emergency executive orders to activate different elements of the Defense Department. Many people are saying the military is really in charge and everything's according to plan, they've never operated on a plan. No plans survives first contact. As Pete Blaber, squadron commander of Delta Force, said in The Mission, The Men, and Me, a great book on leadership, is plans are useless. Planning is invaluable. Develop the situation before it develops you. The best thing about the deep state is they keep following these plans. They're going to roll out the next bioweapon, and people are onto that as well. But it looks to me like there are elements of the intelligence community and elements of the Department of Defense that are using dual executive emergency orders against each other. But I don't think that Trump is secretly in charge. I don't think that at all. I don't think the military is secretly in charge. The military is not a singular entity. And it's an entity of orders. A squad leader takes his orders from his squad, from the platoon sergeant. The platoon sergeant takes his orders from the platoon leader from the company commander, and on up. And that is what has really been used against us to a big extent. Where it is wrong is the intelligence community has subsumed the Department of Defense, and that should never have happened. Back in the day when Nixon, Vice President Eisenhower, tried to take the bioweapons out of Fort Detrick, because it's not the Chinese bioweapons, it's the American military bioweapons, the CIA and the intelligence community came in and grabbed them, buried them in DARPA and BARDA deep state products, just like think about LogLife and Facebook, as a social monitoring tool. You still see particularly Special Forces Green Berets being chopped to the CIA, where it should not be that at all. And there was a lot of hope when Reagan came in about that, because with the Eagle Claw operation to rescue the hostages, the CIA did not have the intelligence that Delta needed to execute. And so I'm actually intimately familiar with the Tier 1 Special Operations Intelligence Unit that was then developed to be able to do that. But unfortunately, I would say a lot of that has been subsumed today into a system where people are more focused on TTPs, on techniques, tactics, and protocols, Halo ops or whatever, as opposed to really understanding and discerning who the friend and who the foe are. And so many still don't recognize that we are really a fourth generation resistance movement against a fifth generation biodigital information influence operation war. Hawaii is a battlefield, and it has been raised, but so many people, and I'm talking about EMS and military and police, still don't recognize that. But for example, the police captain in Las Vegas who ran the Vegas sniper shooting cover up is now the chief in Hawaii there. covering up the same thing. The FBI and the DOJ act as a counterinsurgency cover team for CIA intelligence operations via the military. That's how I see it.
Gosh, it's also horrifying. It just really is horrifying when the alphabet agencies have run amok and basically run the entire nation at this point. But we can probably agree that Trump is a chess master versus Biden, who's a tic-tac-toe pedo. I mean, Biden, the guy can barely walk, he can barely talk, and we're told he got 81 million votes. Here's my last question for you regarding election interference. I do find it very interesting that that EO was signed, 13848. Trump signed that in 2018 regarding future election interference. Have you heard that clip from Jan Helper Hayes? She's got DOD ties. If you've heard it, I won't play it for you, but essentially she's saying, if you think they don't have the goods on the actual election results, I got a bridge to sell you. They do, and it's all going to be coming out. What do you make of that? Because if we could just teach the American people about the deep state and about how this election in 2020 was stolen, and I mean blatantly stolen, we've got the hockey stick charts, we've got all the research from Mike Lindell and others, we know what happened, at least those of us who can think and pay attention. What do you make of what Jan Helper Hayes said about election interference and the truth coming out? She says we have all the goods.
And that's true. Having run the DIA Global Center, I've been in the White House Situation Room, the NSA Center, CIA, all of them. But the problem isn't proof. The problem is prosecution. And this goes back to understanding espionage. And the inflection points of the Attorney General, of the Department of Justice, of the Director of National Intelligence, DNI, Avril Haines, who was CIA, and was never supposed to be CIA because the CIA is so incompetent and corrupt as well. All of those inflection points have been infiltrated through Congress, particularly as well. And so the enforcement mechanisms for prosecution when there is plenty of proof are the problem. So it's not going to happen, in my estimation, top down. It's going to happen from bottom up. And it's going to be a long fight, and it starts in counties and states and states attorneys generals, Missouri, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Arizona is still fighting, but they are being taken. And Arizona is really crucial because it's such an inflection point for the dark economy across the border as well. But that's how I see it. So the resistance is building because to work an agent, for a case officer to work an agent, or for a special agent or detective to work an informant, there has to be trust that you're going to take care of your guy. And that means there has to be some authority from that agent with that agency. That authority has to come from legitimacy. They are losing any shred of legitimacy, of moral character. Mm-hmm. That's why you're seeing IRS, FBI, whistleblowers continue to come out. And that's really going to be their downfall. And again, this goes back in my mind to the way that Rome, the fallen Republic, Roman Empire was overcome. That's how I see it.
You know, I tend to agree with you, and I want to believe in the idea of devolution. I pray to God some good stuff is happening in the background. So, you know, maybe the jury's out on that. But Katie Hobbs, the governor, we're told, of Arizona, what a demon creature. I think you're absolutely right. These people have lost all pretense of any shred of integrity, and it's waking people up. That's why I keep saying, oh, it's obvious now we live in a banana republic. It's sad. But that is the truth of the matter. Final question for you. What is your outlook for the 2024 election? Can they steal another one? I don't know how they can rinse and repeat this, but maybe they will. Maybe they'll run Michael Obama.
I don't think there's going to be any 2024 revenge tour. I don't think they're going to let that happen. The lights are going to go out again, or there'll be another fake pandemic. The question then becomes, what do folks do about that? And again, that has to happen on a local level. At the tactical level, inside the election centers, when the lights go out, will there be other folks to grab the bags of ballots that they're going to grab or pull the fire alarms on them or something, or are people just going to be asleep? Because Americans are very drugged up, dumbed down, and their lives are very easy. But yeah, I think they're planning on stealing another one. But slowly, from the ground up, the resistance will build, and we will see more and more county attorneys, sheriffs, police, state attorneys, governors, states attorneys generals aligning against all of this and refusing to participate. But from the top down, I think it's totally compromised.
Oh, man. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It is totally compromised. But again, it's serving to wake up a lot of folks. I just hope we can save our country before they, like I said, before they finish their cultural Marxist revolution and then start rounding us all up and putting us in camps, as Larry Grathwall, the FBI infiltrator, said the Weather Underground wanted to do once they took control of the government. Hey, you know, I can't thank you enough for your time. It's Major Jeffrey Prather. Did I get it right this time?
Yes, it's Major, and most of my bosses said I was a major pain in the butt.
Okay. Okay. All right. Retired Special Ops, retired Major Jeffrey Prather, ampnews.us. That's where people can find you every day, right?
Sure can. The Prather Brief, Mondays and Wednesdays.
Hey, thanks for your service to our nation, and thank you so much for speaking truth. If everybody was wired like you, we could take this thing back tomorrow.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Guys, I'll leave the link below, ampnews.us. That's the place to find Major Jeffrey Prather. And I want to thank you all for tuning in, as always. Again, for free, every single day, hit us up for free at sgtreport.com, guys. That and thephaser.com and thelibertymill.com are all antidotes to corporate propaganda and all of those Mika Brzezinski, MSNBC Mockingbird lies. God bless you and yours. Bye-bye. Thank you, sir. That was great. I appreciate you.
Well, thank you so much.
That was fun.
You know, I love your stuff, and I'm glad to finally have gotten on with you. But, you know, I have a chaplaincy, ChristChaplaincy.com, and people don't realize that the first chaplain was St. Martin de Tours. St. Martin de Tours was a cavalryman. People don't realize that equites, the cavalrymen, were just below the caste of the senators in Rome. And St. Martin de Tours became a Christian because he was playing with slaves' children who were Christian. And so that's the infiltration of the deep state. That's the resistance building, exactly like that, which is why we got to homeschool our kids, home church, and all that as well.
Gosh, I love that. I may leave that in this interview as part of the liner notes on the back end. People think the interview's over and then they get a little bonus clip. All right. Well, God bless you, sir. I appreciate you. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Please keep in touch. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.